privilege and honor to be able to speak to you tonight and to be in one of the Lord's churches. It's such a joy every time, and a joy that many don't have. I wish all our people in Romania would be able to come at least once in a while to fellowship with other churches. And I make a point in every church that I visit here. You are so blessed to have churches in your fellowship, true churches that hold the same faith. There, we stand alone. And we're desirous of fellowship. And I'm so overwhelmed every time I'm visiting another church. And I am nervous and emotional tonight, probably from the coffee too that I had just before we came. But no, it's not that. I can't believe it's 6 years since we had that wonderful fellowship there in Louisville. I was 29 then. I bring you greetings from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Assembly of Bocșa, Romania, the church that I pastor, and from many brothers and sisters from Romania, from all parts of Romania, and also from Germany and from other countries of Europe, people that are in touch with us, that are close to us, that are on their way to learning the wonderful doctrines of grace and of church truth. So they all send their greetings. And I thank you for your prayers for me and for my wife Miriam and for the church there in Romania. It's hard to leave them behind for 2 months. But the Lord is working there, and we are so thankful to have faithful people to continue the work and hold the fort. I will tell you a little bit more about myself and the work in Romania, but first I would like to share a few thoughts from the Word of God with you. One of my favorite books, no, my favorite book in the Bible, and probably we shouldn't have favorite books, the whole book is amazing, but the book of Romans always have been dear to me, even though it was too hard for me to understand it. The Lord saved me when I came to Romans 3:23, just crashing my world down and teaching me that if I want to compare myself with any man, I better compare myself with Jesus, because He is the standard. He is God's glory manifested in flesh. And it, no matter how good a boy I wasn't good enough unless I matched Him. And I learned that I fall short. I come short of that glory of God manifested in the Lord Jesus. So when I was 16 and a half, the Lord saved me right there studying Romans 3:23. Romans 3 and at that point, verse 23. As I was studying more in the book of Romans, I came to Romans 8, and I couldn't put things together. These things were so deep. And Romans 9, I just had to take the word as it was, though I didn't understand it. And I had many questions about it, but the Lord gave me so many answers in the meantime. I may have time to tell you a little bit about that and how I came to believe the doctrines of grace. Doctrine, I prefer to call it, not doctrines, because they're one. You cannot just pick and choose what to believe. But the doctrine of grace and church truth. But I want to share some thoughts with you, some that I hope to be an encouragement for you tonight. From Romans 8, one verse that we love and cherish, and it's such an encouragement, I believe, to all of us, is verse 28. And the apostle says then, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And you read these verses, this verse and this passage, and it has such depth that you can never explore it all the way through. It's so amazing. Every time you go deeper and deeper and you understand God's sovereignty and God's redemption and the fact that He elected you and He predestinated you before this world was formed. And he chose Christ to be the covenant head for all his people. It's an amazing doctrines are found in this passage. And we know that all things, let's just stop at these two words, all things. These words speak, I will make some mistakes. English is not my first language, so please bear with them. These two words speak about God's measure of involvement, God's plan, and his involvement in our everyday life. How much is God involved? How much does he control? Well, some people have the idea that all things that happen on Sunday work together. All the things that are spiritual, all the things that relate to morality, that is good or evil. But that's about it. God doesn't care, and he's not involved in who I choose to marry, about what job I choose or to what school I go, or things like that. No, God is involved in the spiritual things, and he's the cause for them, yes, but he doesn't care if I get on my car and I travel 3 hours south, for example. He doesn't care if I get on an airplane and fly from Romania to the United States. These are two trivial things for God to take care of or to be concerned for. Our verse here says, all things, which means that God's plan is so complex and so detailed that nothing is left to mere chance. Nothing is left to coincidence or to accidents. And nothing is left to my mere free will. No. All things are controlled and determined by our God. Some people have the idea that God, in his mighty power, he created this world. It's like a wise watchmaker that creates this beautiful watch, and he winds it and sets it somewhere and leaves it to work by itself. No. God is indeed the wise watchmaker, but he is involved in his creation in every detail, in the smallest detail. He never let go. And it is true that this world fell and Satan is now the ruler and the God of this world. However, his dominion is so limited by our sovereign God. He cannot move one inch further than God allows him. He cannot resist one single second more than the time appointed to him. All things. What about our own life? Do we see God in all things and all areas of our life? God's plan does not extend only on others, on the church or on Satan or on this world. No, let's apply it to ourselves. Do we see God involved in all things that happen to us? Years ago, I challenged myself first and then my church members, and ever since I challenged all kinds of people to give thanks to the Lord for one new thing every single day. And I would like you to pick up this challenge. First, when I thought about it, I said, well, I may run out of ideas. But at first, I had so many things to thank the Lord for. Well, the next day, I didn't have 15 or 20. I may have 5 or, you know, and try not to cheat. If two new things come to your head, you know, thank him for two things, two new things that day. Don't leave one for the next. You know what happens? You begin to look around and see God working in areas that you never thought about. And you become more thankful and you become more aware of God being involved in all things of your life. And that has the tendency of changing our prayer life. So I would invite you to pick up this challenge and try to thank the Lord for a new thing at least every day. Because all things, whether we know or not, whether we acknowledge or not, all things that happen to us, God's in control. We may think that it's our choice. We may think that, this is my decision. Behind it is God. All things, not some things, not just religious or spiritual things, but all things are in the hand of God, determined by Him. His plan is so detailed that everything that happens to me was ordained by our Lord. All things. Then the apostle says, all things work together. Now that's an amazing thought. Because there are no accidents then. There are no coincidences then. If they all work together, this magnificent, complex plan that works at billion of levels, it's so much beyond our comprehension. It works, all things work together. Just for a simple meeting, and I wanted to say like this one, it's not a simple, it's an extraordinary meeting for me, but for every single meeting that we have, billions of factors outside of our control have to work together in perfect harmony for us to be here tonight. Billions of factors. Think about your car's components. Think about all the technology we used. Well, my GPS, I'm not somewhere lost. Think about our wonderful made body that has trillions, I guess, of cells. They had to work together for us to be here tonight and enjoy this time of worship and fellowship. Billions of things. Can I control them? No. But God controls them. All things work together. God controls them. Many people just can't make sense of their life. They just see their life like a series of random happenings with no purpose, no design, no end in view. They're like little boats with no anchor, with just floating to and fro, sometimes bumping into one another. Like meeting another person. It is so great to know that all things work together, because this means that God has designed them for a purpose. That if something happens to me, it happens for a purpose. Last year, I was in Peru. Brother Sam invited me to their conference in Gladwin, and I told him if I can get a rain check on that, Lord willing, I would come this year. And I'm thankful that the Lord enabled me to honor that invitation. But I was in Peru. I already promised, and we've been praying for many years for my trip there. So I had a translator that did not... He was coming from a Union Baptist church. He didn't know Church Truth or Grace, but he did his best. But I was preaching on another verse, but when I came to this passage, it's like he stopped and the whole congregation was waiting for him to translate what I was saying. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, so all things work together. So everything happens for a reason in my life. So he even forgot to translate and the people were waiting. So I just told him, you know, you translate just what you said. It's so great when you understand that all things work together, that God has a purpose for them. They're not just random. They're not just random. So let me ask you something. If all things work together and have a purpose, it means that our very own existence has a purpose. We are left here for a reason. We're not just in a waiting room for eternity. We are left here for a reason, for a work that we need to accomplish. Do you know God's plan and purpose for your life? You know, it would have been much simpler for us if the Lord had just saved us and said, all right, Raul, time to come home. You know, say, Brother Dan, come home. Say, Brother Sam, come home. Brother Timothy, I was looking for you earlier. For you. I heard you're coming. Come home. Well, he didn't. And we're left here for a number of years to struggle. We're left here to experience sorrow and loss and sickness and sin and shortcomings and failures. Why? For us, we would say, Lord, wouldn't have been better for me just to be with you? He left us here for a reason. The number of years he gives us, every single day and every single second. The health, I don't even know how to say that in English, the amount of health that he gives us is given for a purpose. Some people are healthier than others. Some have issues that others don't. Well, why? Why me? Sometimes we ask. They were given to us for a reason. I would encourage each and every one of you to come before the Lord and in prayer and find out, why did he leave me on earth? Why do I have to live this life? Why here? You think it's a coincidence that you live here, that you're members in this church? Or no. There's no coincidence that I was born in Romania under the communist regime. Thankfully, it's over. There's no coincidence. Think about how many people were born into this world in places or times where they never even had a chance to hear the gospel. Therefore, they died without being able to make a decision for Christ. They never heard about Jesus. That totally discards the doctrine of universal atonement. But we were born in a place and in a time where we heard the gospel. When the Lord saved me, I was 16 and a half, when I was struggling with some things like the security of the believer, because I was taught that you could not be sure. It was a prideful thing to say that you know for sure that you'll end up in heaven. No, that's the flesh speaking, they used to tell me. And I was really struggling with this. Am I really saved or am I not? God sent Brother Curtis Pugh halfway around the world and just made us make contact. And he came just for me, I thought. It was no coincidence. All things work together. You're left here with a purpose. Find that purpose and fulfill it. And God will be honored and you will be blessed when you do that. All things work together for good, the apostle says. What an amazing thing. Well, first, it doesn't say that all things that happen to Christians are good. It doesn't say that. All the experience, the traumas Joseph went through when he was sold by his brothers, they were not good. But God worked them for good. And it is the same with us. You know, I pay attention to the prayer requests everywhere I go. Many of our brothers and sisters go through difficulties and sickness. I thought it was just us in Romania. No, I know you're going through difficulties and sickness too. Well, why do these things happen to us? They're not good in themselves. Many of these difficulties, they remind us of the fall of our father Adam. Why do they happen to us? God works them for our good. So we have to learn some lessons. And we better learn when we're in the midst of them. God is not capricious. He does not smite his children for no reason, no. He disciplines us like a father. So, if something happens to us, whether we like it or not, if all things work together for good, it means that that very thing is the best thing that could happen to us right then, at that point of time. The best thing. I learned this lesson kind of the hard way. It was probably the hardest day of my life. Physically, not. I've been through rougher waters spiritually, but our family keeps honeybees. So we were out on this field, and we were just ready to move out. My brother brought the truck. It's a 3.5 ton truck. So we load the hives in the truck, in the flatbed, in the back. We try to secure the load. You don't want those hives to open up. Does any one of you have hives here? No? All right. Well, I'm not going to go into too much detail. But this sudden rainstorm comes. And on that dirt road, we get the truck stuck like 250 yards. Still like half an hour to go to the closest village. Well, I thought, this is bad enough, but at least I have manpower with me. My uncle and two brothers from the church and my younger brother, my father. Well, we couldn't do anything that night. So the next morning, I called them like 4 in the morning, and so my uncle cannot come. Another brother cannot come. Nobody could help us. Now, they move back the hives by hand, like 120-pound hives, to the initial location. And we were against time because they were going to die. They're going to get asphyxiated. That morning, it was just my brother and I and my father moved more than 50 such hives for 250 yards. Well, I started praying for the Lord to answer me. Everything I prayed, the Lord answered in spite. Just the opposite. I prayed that the Lord would stop the rain. It poured even harder. Well, and then the rain stopped. I thanked the Lord for that eventually. I was upset with him for not stopping the rain earlier. But the sun came up and it was scorching us. So I prayed, there were clouds in the sky, so I prayed that the Lord would send those clouds to cover the sky. The clouds just disappeared. I mean, they just vanished. The sky was clear. So we ran out of water, and we were just exhausted physically. We ran out of food, of water. I thought, at least I have my phone with me. I'm waiting for a call from my father-in-law to come help, to come with a tractor. And he didn't know the location. He needed to contact me. Well, I look in my pocket, and the flashlight on my phone went off without me realizing. I was down to 4% battery. And that was like 11 o'clock, and my father-in-law was to come like 4 or 5. in the afternoon. There was no way that 4% would have lasted me so long. I was so upset then and aggravated and exhausted. And, you know, I said in my heart, I didn't want my brother to hear me saying this to the Lord. I said, Lord, that's exactly what I needed right now. Romans 8:28 right then just popped into my head. All things work together for good. I realized that if the Lord allowed those things in my heart and in my life, it meant that I needed them. I needed to learn some lessons, and it doesn't matter how hard it was for me and how exhausted we were, how thirsty we were. I would have drank from the ditch. I was so thirsty. They happened for a reason, and He's in control. And I needed to go through that experience. So I just asked, Lord, please forgive me. Now, I knew Romans 8:28. I preached from Romans 8:28. I believe Romans 8:28, and I did before. But at that point, when physically I was so exhausted, you know, it was so close to question that, but then the Lord brought it to my mind, and I realized that everything that happens to me is in His control to the smallest detail, and He allows it in my life because I need it. I need it to glorify Him, to learn these lessons, to draw me closer. I just can't tell you what happened afterwards. This young man shows up on the top of a hill coming toward us, having a bottle of water and some food that he shares with us. He even offers to help us so we get all the hives back without one dying. Well, my father-in-law calls me. I was down to 2%. My father-in-law calls me and he says, I'm trying to come, but we have this horrible hail storm. I don't know if you have hail here. If not, I'm going to move here. We have some hailstorms there. And I kept seeing this hailstorm coming, and the clouds are greenish looking. Now, he can't come because of this hailstorm. And we were in a hurry to get out of there. We get to the village walking like 30 or more minutes, and then here finally arrives, makes it through the storm. And he says, there's this tractor driver. We can go with the tractor and pull the truck. We didn't want to get stuck in that hailstorm. The Lord made it. I still get goosebumps. It was like a horseshoe around us. We were out on this field. This storm was coming from the east. The sun was setting in the west. So you could see in the sunset light, you know, these clouds coming. And it was like a horseshoe around us, like half a mile to the left, 1 mile to the right. We make it to the village. The tractor pulls the truck. And as soon as we made like 100 yards into the village, you know, that horseshoe closes around us. And then it just pours down. God is in control in the smallest detail of our life. If something happens to you, just like if something happens to me, it's because we, as His children, need it to draw us closer to Him. And to see this, to see Him working in our lives, it's amazing. And I encourage you to look around you and see God working in and through you. Bring Him glory and learn new lessons. Sometimes we learn the hard way. Sometimes, if you're like me, you're stubborn. But you know we're in a school. And just like in any school, you have to pass certain exams before you move on. Well, some of us may not be really happy to pass, or we don't learn the lessons. Well, you know, God will bring you. He has this power to work things in your life. It's like He will place you on a circuit. It doesn't matter how fast you run away from Him. You will end up at the end of the lap at the same point. You need to pass this exam. You need to learn these lessons. Well, let's try to learn from other people's mistakes and learn the lessons when he puts us through a difficult time. And in sickness, in hardships, when we don't have what we need, let's look at him and say, Lord, I know that I need this, and I thank you for it. I was talking with a former Orthodox bishop that the Lord saved. And as soon, he was wealthy, he was renowned, everybody respected him. As soon as the Lord saved him, he gave up everything, and he became as poor as anyone can be. He was running this cafeteria kind of operation for poor people. He ended up eating there. As soon as the Lord saved him, his family turned against him. He lost all his friends. And on top of everything else, they found him with colon cancer. And it was already stage 3. So they intervened and they cut part of his liver and part of his colon. Like everything was just dumped on him. And I visited him. I thought it was his dying bed. We prayed together. And he looks me in my eyes and he says, you know, the Lord was so good with me through this. And I grew so much closer to him through this, that if I were to make a choice, if I were to come back in time and make a choice, I would choose the same path. Isn't that amazing? Just absolutely amazing. That's when we realize that whatever hardship we face, if it draws us closer to God, it's worth it. And we couldn't do without. Then we really learned our lessons, and then we are bringing praises to God. All the things work together for good. I need to hurry up a little. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, for good to all people? To all mankind? No. To all them, for good to them that love God. Now, we know that not all people love God. At least one didn't love God before he was saved. But God's love was shed abroad in our hearts through his Spirit. And you know why God had to pour his love in us? Because there was no love for him there to begin with. Now, bad things happen to lost people. They go through the same things that we go through. But the Bible doesn't say that all things work together for their good. It's such an amazing thing to know that God takes special care for you, his child. To them who are the called. Who loves God? The one who is called according to his purpose. These are the elect. These are the ones that were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. These are the ones that God takes special care of and that will be glorified. In his eyes, we are already glorified, because verse 30 has the past tense there. Well, I don't feel myself glorified yet, and I sure hope I'm not, because I still have many flaws. It better be better than this, the glorification. And I know it is, because we'll be like the Lord Jesus when we'll be glorified. To them that love God, that are the elect, are the called. Now, if God gave you a special calling, he made the difference between you and the rest of the world. It's such an honor and privilege to be God's child, but it comes with responsibilities. We represent our God before the world. And you know something? People look at us, and you know what they see? They see our God. They identify us with our God. So What kind of God do we present before them? Paul was talking to about the Jews, that because of them, the name of the Lord was blasphemed among the nations. What a sad thing. But how close are we to that point today? We have a calling. Let's live up to it. It's a great honor, but a responsibility too. We are a peculiar people. We are a holy priesthood. We should be separated from the world unto service for God, which means that we're different than the world. Our standard is not the world. We should not be satisfied with being just a little better than the average in the world. No, they're not our standard. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our standard. So we should always look up toward Him and follow Him. We are a peculiar people. Strange people. Foolish people in the eyes of the world. We don't follow them and their values. We should not. We have a better standard. Let's follow it. All things work together for good to them that love God. My question for you tonight is, do you love God? None of us love Him enough. None of us love Him as we should love Him. But may the Lord work in our hearts to love Him and to love Him more and more and more. Amen. I was longer than I thought. Thank you for listening. And I hope these thoughts were an encouragement to you. Always when I come to Romans 8, it's such a blessing for me. And it's a great thing to be thankful to the Lord. These things have so many practical applications. How we bear a trial. You know, the patience, the faith, the hope, the love that we display will glorify God. But let me tell you something else. It's no coincidence that you're a member in the Lord's church. And never make light of your membership in one of His churches. After salvation is the greatest blessing that God bestowed upon you. So live up to it and treasure it. There are so many saved people outside the Lord's churches, it is said. But He called you to this. Be faithful. And bring faithful service to Him in His temple, in His church, to the end of your life. That would be my encouragement to you. We in Romania, we stand alone, and it is hard. The closest church that we have to fellowship with is the church in Cork, Ireland, that Brother Bob Ellis started. Now, that's at the other corner of Europe. You'd have to be on the road 2.5 days. Of course, we fly, but he came to visit us last fall. A little bit about ourselves. Well, we have a small church, but we try to be faithful in what the Lord has entrusted us with. And we believe that we are there in Europe, in that spiritual, spiritually dark kingdom of Satan. We're left to be a light. And just like the Apostle Paul was left by the Lord to be a light unto the Gentiles, to bring salvation to them to the ends, uttermost ends, end corners of the world, we believe that we have that calling too. Now, each one of us should start, every church should start with our own Jerusalem. It's where God put us. Here in Mount Morris or in Gladwin or in Bocsa, Romania. And then, you know, witness for Him and more. You know, the circle should grow larger and larger. By God's grace, we have 3 preachers in the church. And to us, every church member has to serve the Lord in witnessing too. It's not just the preacher's job, but on every everyday basis, we need to witness and go out. And we're trying to reach as many communities as we can with the gospel. So far, the church members were able to reach, it's hard to remember all the figures, more than 110 villages. Now, that's a lot. And we've never thought that we would get so much so far. But if you do it every day, a little bit, you know, it adds up. We covered 5 towns from like between 10 to 20,000 people, population, door to door. Because when I say cover, I mean door to door. One city of 300,000. That took us a couple of years. And right now we are, two more cities are in progress. One of them is our capital, Bucharest, which is the largest mission field so far. About 2 million people, plus students and workers that come in, can get up to 4 million. So that's a big mission field right there. We have 4 mission points right now, and Lord willing, we will start more. We have already baptized members in those mission points, and we hope in God's time to see churches organized as we move forward. We have the literature work, the print shop, which the Lord used to open many, many doors. And he used that work in a tremendous way. The most number of... so far we were able to print 71, I believe, titles. Translated and printed. And it's a lot of work. Like one, the biggest project took us 10,000 hours of work. Sometimes it takes me, like with a book on the Anabaptist that we translated, I went over it 18 times. From the first time I read it until I sent it to Aurel and Miriam to the print shop. So it's a lot of work, but it's, you know, the Lord is blessing it because people, they don't have the resources that you have in English. So they keep, we started with little booklets and then small books and then larger and larger. Right now, we are able to print over 20 books on grace and church truth. And the Lord used this in a tremendous way. We receive phone calls not only from Romania, all over Romania, but from other countries too. From Europe, from North America, recent literature to Mexico. I didn't think Romanians would stay in Mexico when the United States was so close, but somebody did. We distribute literature in Australia, in 7 important cities there. And a brother that lives in Australia took literature to New Zealand. Again, I never thought there were Romanians in New Zealand, but obviously they are. We made several mission trips in the neighboring countries, including Ukraine. Somebody asked me earlier about Ukraine. Republic of Moldova, who is communist still, or very pro-Russian. It's pretty hard to get in there, but there's interest there. In 2 years ago, I received a phone call from a man that works in the Vatican. He's a priest, Romanian. He just graduated from the Institute, the Theological Institute of the Vatican. The Jesuits hired him, finished valedictorian, his master's degree. They were going to pay his way through the doctorate. Well, the Lord had something to say in that because he saved him. So, you know, he gave up everything. But I, visiting him, I had the opportunity to share the gospel, church truth, gospel of grace, the doctrines of grace, right there. And that's how God works in his sense of irony against his church's enemies. I was there with him in the house of Ignatius of Loyola, You may not know the name. He is the father of the Jesuits. The Jesuits in the Middle Ages were the main enemies of our forefathers, the Anabaptists, and many were killed because of them. They were infiltrating. They are the Pope's spies. They infiltrate and still do today in Protestant organizations, in Baptist organizations, and all kinds of other religious societies to bring them back to Rome. So to be there and share church truth and grace and the gospel in the very house of an archenemy of the time past, that's God's sovereignty and his sense of irony and humor. I made several trips in Germany, and last year I was in Peru. We're still expected in many of the countries of Europe. So right now we are limited in what we can do with our time. I sometimes work 15, 16 hours a day, and on not just one day here and there. But we're so thankful that the Lord enabled us to and called us to this work. In the print shop, there are several projects underway. Right now, there are many books that wait in line because you can only do so much on a budget and with the manpower that you have. And we also have to be a lot involved in missions and in just witnessing and spreading the gospel. So I would ask you to pray for us and pray for the literature work, pray for our little church, that we will stand fast and witness for the Lord there in Romania until He comes. We want to serve Him according to His will and proclaim His grace, proclaim His sovereignty, and His kind of churches without any compromise. So we would really appreciate to know that you will be praying for us. It would be a great encouragement for our church. Now, if you have any questions, I will be glad to answer them. In the back over there, I brought some samples of the books we print. You will see the Trail of Blood, how it looks in Romanian, Arthur Pink's Sovereignty of God, and a few others. So if you are interested, I will gladly show them to you. You can see them over there. Well, thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you for your prayers. And it was a real joy and privilege to be among you. Amen.